This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland, and I'm joined once again in the studio by our senior producer, Patty Hirsch.
Hello.
And, hey, David Lazarus is here.
What the heck?
You guys reading letters together today?
No, I asked David here because it's Father's Day, and I don't have kids.
And I'm, you know, when it comes to Tess, who's your daddy, you know, I'm your guy.
Ew.
Actually, I was more thinking somebody who could talk about daddy issues.
Oh, okay. It's not who's your daddy. Okay, then I'm the daddy. But, yeah, I got daddy issues.
All right. Well, before we get to Father's Day, how'd the mailbag look this week?
So the vast majority of letters this week were about this commentary by Justin Wilson that we had last week. He was from the Center for Consumer Freedom, and his commentary was about obesity and sugary sodas.
Right. The Bloomberg rule outlawing big drinks.
Exactly.
Bigger than 16 ounces.
Right. Bigger than 16 ounces, right. So Justin Wilson argued that government's role is to protect citizens from each other, not from ourselves. So not everyone agreed with this, which is great. I mean, the whole reason for airing this commentary was to hear a point of view that many Americans have got on this issue and creating a forum for that debate.
And, and to reiterate again, it is basically an op-ed.
Right, exactly. This isn't journalism. This is opinion that, we're airing here. And it's an opinion that, as I say, you know, a lot of people have and that a lot of people are voicing around the country. So, you know, we wanted to give it some air. So, and we're going to be doing a lot more of this in future. We want to express points of view that are at odds with legislation or with government action.
All right. But we are happy to hear from you. So please keep sending those letters. But if we are not reading more letters, what's David doing here? Apart from, you know, cluttering the place up.
Cluttering the place up? You know, like a ray of sunshine I'm bringing right here. Are you kidding?
That's right.
Exactly. That warm glow that I bring to radio.
Well, we will be hearing from a listener who wrote in with a question. But first, I wanted to talk with David about Father's Day. I have a query.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much. I'm excited.
And happy Father's Day to my dad.
And mine.
And mine.
Okay.
Okay. See you later, everybody.
Our work here is done.
So David's obviously a consumer columnist of some repute. And I, as a consumer, I wanted to ask, why is it that that Father's Day is so much less popular than Mother's Day?
Who says?
Oh, I got the numbers. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah?
Let's turn to our friends at the National Retail Federation. They're like the axe on this sort of thing.
Okay.
I got some numbers. Last year, you're not going to believe this. It's just so insulting on so many levels. When, when it came to dad, about $11 billion got spent. Ooh, sounds good.
That's a lot of money.
Everyone at home is going, ooh, $11 billion. And that means roughly $106 per gift. Not the gift that I saw, but $106. Okay, great. When it comes to mom, $16.3 billion.
Wow.
Average gift of $140. That's a big disparity. Yes.
So do we have a glass ceiling on gift giving here? Is that what's happening?
$5 billion worth of love for mom that's not coming to dad.
What's that about?
Well, what is that about? In fact, when you look at some of the other numbers that are out there, H&R Block, which I guess spends a lot of time thinking about these things.
And they found H&R Block?
The tax people, but they care. They care. They're thinking about these things. And they found that mom, amidst all of that spending for her, well, frequently she gets flowers. Uh-huh. Because nothing says I love you like flowers, right?
Or diamonds.
What does dad get?
Dad gets a tie.
Not
socks.
He gets a tie. He gets a power tool. But
golf balls.
Primarily, he gets a gift card.
That's because you're so hard to shop for.
Dad?
Men are impossible
to
shop for.
That's so not true.
You don't want flowers. You don't want chocolate.
Right, yes.
You don't want pretty dresses. You don't want jewelry.
Why does everything on dad's list have to be something that a girl would like? I don't know. What's the deal with that, first of all? I mean, a skill saw? I would take a skill saw.
Really?
No, but I just wanted to sound like I was a total man's man here. In fact, a skill saw would be really dangerous to give me, so don't do it. But I'm just saying, I mean, if you wanted to give me an iPad, I would take an iPad. Thank you, son.
That would be way more than the $106 that we're spending on you
okay,
now.
Okay, there's that too. But nevertheless, does it have to be a tie? I mean, really?
Well, with that, we do hope that all of you fathers out there are having a lovely, lovely weekend, and happy Father's Day to everybody. All right, so let's go to our caller.
Our caller this week is Thomas Williams from Minneapolis. Thomas is on the line with a question about his mortgage. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And tell me, are you a father?
I am not a father. I'm actually recently engaged.
Congratulations.
Dad-to-be.
Incoming.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe not. But if you are going to be a dad, Thomas, just remember, mom gets so much more when it comes to the gifts than dads. It's something I think you should be taking up early and often and pointing this out to everybody.
All right. So Thomas, then here's the question for you. Have you gotten anything for your father?
You know, I have not yet, but I still have a couple days.
Okay. And any idea what you might spend on him?
I heard an iPad is a good gift.
This is what I'm talking about. Thank you very much. What a good guy right here.
You're sending everybody into Hawk to buy their dad's iPads.
I just hope my own son is listening. That's the only the only thing I'm doing here.
All right. So, Thomas, you are calling us because?
I am calling you because, as I mentioned, I'm recently engaged, and I currently live in a condo that I purchased with a friend of mine 5 years ago, and we purchased it under a 50-50% agreement on the mortgage. So,
so you co-signed?
And I own half, okay. Correct.
So my assumption then is that because you are engaged to be married, that ultimately you would like to live with your wife.
I would very much like that, yes. And no hard feelings against my buddy, but we'd like to uninvite him from that.
Understandable.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, yes. Okay. And I'm guessing you want your buddy to pick up your side of the mortgage so that it becomes all his condo.
Yeah. In fact, we're all in favor of that. He is welcoming of the idea. I am absolutely fine with that. And I think it would be a good way to unravel it. We just haven't found a way to do so yet.
So what has the bank told you about why this is a problem?
Well, because the value of the property is currently less than the mortgage.
Okay,
let's go swimming. All right. Yeah. So there's that. You know, you're not the only guy to feel this particular problem, and especially in the condo market, I got to say, because, you know, resale value is very tough in the condo world.
Yep.
A lot of underwater condos right now and a lot of lenders out there thinking, I don't want to expose and increase my risk profile. In this case, though, it's not really the end of the world because it's not like you're talking about selling. It's not like you're proposing a short sale. It's not like you're doing the kinds of things that give the heebie-jeebies to bankers.
But apparently they have the heebie-jeebies over something.
Well, they have the heebie-jeebies because anytime you're taking one name off the mortgage, that's one less person you can come and shake down.
Right.
If there's a problem. So I get it.
Right.
Sopranos work the same way. But that said,
are you comparing the banking industry to mobsters?
Oh, could you imagine?
Do that?
I know, a protection strong arm racket. Why would I possibly think the banks operate like that? But let's move on from there. I would say that your situation here is made immensely easier if your buddy has a regular paycheck and is paying his bills and doesn't have a credit score that's hanging out in the basement. Is all of that applicable here?
It is, absolutely. He owns his own business. So the regular paycheck maybe be a little bit harder to prove, but I think he's in good standing. I've confirmed his credit score with him, and I don't see why it would be a problem for the bank to approve him for it.
And I'd be willing to bet money here that what you need to do, first of all, you're looking at a refi. That's your answer. The refi is going to allow you to negotiate new terms for the loan and in that process remove your name from that loan. Now, it could be that the bank is going to say, you know what, because we're seeing a little bit more of a risk here, we're going to bump up your interest rate just a smidge. You need to be open to that.
But David, the fact that the condo is underwater is going to make a refi difficult
Very difficult.
The first place.
Yeah.
And now you're adding that you're taking off one of the incomes, the two incomes on the mortgage.
But it's not.
Is he going to have to look at like a HARP or a HAMP, one of the government programs?
I don't know if he's going to have to because he's not talking about a loan mod here. And with underwater properties, the things that really throw a monkey into the wrench when it comes to banks is the idea that they're going to have to take a big haircut.
Yeah.
And that's not what's being proposed here with the refi. The refi is still going to say, you, Mr. Banker, are going to be okay. You can count on that regular income.
I just feel like I've heard so many stories about people trying to get a refinance, and unless you have 20% equity in that house, it is almost impossible.
But this isn't a refi that is being made under duress. This is a refi that's being made more for logistical purposes, and that is we need to take one of the names off because we've got a good reason. He's not bankrupt or anything. He's getting married, mazel tov, and the other one is going to keep making those payments. I think the bank will look more favorably at that.
Mm.
And granted, banks don't often look at the context of refis. No, mea culpa. You know, absolutely, banks need to do—
It's an algorithm.
Well, yeah, they just need to do a better job of looking at things on a case-by-case basis, which they don't, which is why I think it's very important to go to the bank face-to-face, sit down with somebody, and make it personal.
So, Thomas, you have not gone to the bank at all yet?
I have not gone in person to the bank. I made a phone call to the bank who owns the loan.
And what did they say?
They gave me very few choices. In fact, I think that the words were, you need to stay with what you currently have.
Oh.
And you perhaps could pursue an assumption if your co-borrower or my roommate were to make 12 months of payments out of his own account, but it wouldn't be guaranteed.
So you've basically, at this point, gotten a no from the folks who hold your note right now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but to me, that's a no being read off of a script.
Yeah,
right.
And
it certainly felt like it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what
he needs. He needs a sit down.
He needs a sit down. He needs to go into the
actually,
branch.
Go to the branch.
I would. I would go to the branch.
I know exactly.
Face to face when you could be tweeting. I hear you, but nevertheless, this is what you got to do. You got to make it personal. You've got to bring the banker involved, and you've got to have him or her actually step up and say, okay, here are the products we offer. Here are the choices that we have. Now, these banks all advertise that they are the banks that listen. Yep. They are the banks that serve customer needs. They're the banks that will be there for you. Hold them to that, for goodness sakes.
All right. So, Thomas, it sounds like the advice here is to go back to the bank, but in person.
Okay. I can try that.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for the call, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas.
You bet. Bye.
Yeah, I think you have, David, a little more faith in this than I do. We have heard way too many stories about these underwater mortgages, and people cannot get refinanced.
As have I. But, in fact, a major bank called me the other day to say, how come you're not writing more good columns about all the good things we're doing to help distressed homeowners?
Really?
And their message was very clear to me, and that is, we're really trying to do more, and we wish more people would acknowledge it. All right, so I'm going to call them on that.
All right. Well, thanks, David.
Thank you.
And Patty, as always, lovely to see you here in studio.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.